ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय यत्तु आत्मराम गुरुभिर्विचिन्तितांग्रि द्वन्द्वं चरन्तं उमया तपसवितप्तम् कथन्तौग्रापरुषं निरतं श्मशाने तेनूनमूतिम् अविदंस्तवः तलज्जा ये पर्सन्स् हु टु इन्दीड् आत्मरामा गुरुवे बै दोस् हु आर् सेल्फ् सटिस्फैड् and who are considered to be spiritual masters of the world. Riddhi, within the heart, chintita angri dvandvam, thinking of your two lotus feet, charantam, moving, Umaya, with your consort, Uma, Tapasa Abhitaptam, highly advanced through practice of austerity and penance, Katanta, criticize your acts, Ugra Parusham, not a gentle person. Niratam. Always. Shmashani. In the crematorium. Te. Such persons. Nunam. Indeed. Utim. Such activities. Avidam. Not knowing. Tava, your activity. Hatalajja, shameless. Exalted, self-satisfied persons who preach to the entire world, think of your lotus feet constantly within their hearts. However, when persons who do not know your austerity see you moving with Uma, they misunderstand you to be lusty, or when they see you wandering in the crematorium, they mistakenly think that you are ferocious and envious. Certainly they are shameless. They cannot understand your activities. Lord Shiva is the topmost Vaishnava, Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. It is therefore said, Vaishnavira kriya mudra vigye nabujai. Even the most intelligent person cannot understand what a Vaishnava like Lord Shiva is doing or how he is acting. Those who are conquered by lusty desires and anger cannot estimate the glories of Lord Shiva, whose position is always transcendental. In all the activities associated with lusty desires, Lord Shiva is an implement of Atma Rama. Ordinary persons, therefore, should not try to understand Lord Shiva and his activities. One who tries to criticize the activities of Lord Shiva is shameless. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayati girim. Yatkripatamaham bande shi gurum dinatananam. So it is very difficult to understand sometimes the activities of great personalities like Lord Shiva. Because his external features are not like exactly like a traditional Vaishnava, you know. He likes to have a garland made of bones and skulls. He likes to have his body smeared with ashes from the crematorium. And he have even snakes around his body. So it's not very usual for a Vaishnava to be like that. So sometimes people who are less intelligent, they criticize Lord Shiva without understanding his actual position as a transcendental Vaishnava, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, the best of the Vaishnavas. So the Shastra, to help us understand better Lord Shiva, explain a little bit about him, that the ashes he smeared on his body from the crematorium are only ashes from the bodies of Vaishnavas, nobody else. And the bones and the skulls he wears as a garland are also from Vaishnavas and nobody else. Even the cobras around his neck and arms, these are great sages who likes to keep his company, his association. So like that, it is explained so we can understand a little bit about his great personality. People who know how austere is Lord Shiva, although he has as wife the material energy personified, Uma or Durga, he preferred to live under a tree without even having a house. So austere, so... And always in meditation, he's sitting meditating. And who is meditating? He's always meditating on Lord Krishna and his expansion, like Sankarshan. Shiva has expanded from Sankarshan, Mahasankarshan. You know that Krishna's first expansion is Lord Balaram. And from Balaram comes the Chaturvyuha. Vasudeva, Niruddha, Sankarshan, and Pradyumna. Isn't? And from Sankarshan, Lord Narayan of Vaikuntha expands. And Lord Narayan of Vaikuntha have a quadruple expansion, Chaturbhyuha. No? And this second expansion, this Sankarshan is called Mahasankarshan. And from this Mahasankarshan, Lord Shiva expand, and the Mahavishnu also expand. But the expansion of Lord Shiva is not Vishnu Tattva, because when he enters the material world, he consorts with material energy. So there is a little transformation in him. The Brahma Samhita explains, like milk touched by tamarind becomes curd. So in the same way, although he's in one sense non-different from Vishnu, at the same time he is different. Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. That's the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. Everything simultaneously in one and different from the Supreme Lord. So, Lord Shiva's position is eternal. He's always the same personality. Although Lord Brahma, he may change. Different living entities may occupy the post of Brahma, but that is not the case with Lord Shiva. Of course, there are some very exceptional situations when the Lord decides not to expand himself as Lord Shiva. Then a living entity takes that position. A jiva takes that position. Then it is said that Shiva is a jiva. But otherwise, Lord Shiva, sometimes there is argument between, you know, followers of Shiva and Vaishnavas, that no, Vishnu is the supreme, no, Shiva is the supreme, you know. But this is useless argument because Shiva doesn't have separate existence. He's not competing with Krishna. That's a wrong idea. He's a great devotee. How is he going to compete with Krishna to be the supreme? Doesn't make sense. The so-called followers, they are confused and they think like that. You know the story of Bhrigu Muni, that's in the Krishna book, that the sages, they could not ascertain who amongst the three deities, Brahma, Shiva and Vishnu, was in the pure goodness, was in the supreme. So they asked Bhrigu Muni to test, to make a test, to find out. So Bhrigu Muni agreed, he's the son of Lord Brahma, mental son, great rishi, very powerful. So he went to see his father, Lord Brahma. Naturally, when the son sees his father, he offers some respect, some nice words. But Bhrigu Muni stood up in front of Lord Brahma's father and didn't speak even a single word. And he just looking here and there and looking at him, not even greeting him or saying anything, you know. So that was an offensive attitude. And Lord Brahma, he became angry at his son. His face became red with anger. And Bhrigu could see that. But of course, with great effort, Brahma controlled his anger. So Bhrigu Muni understood, oh, he's not completely in the pure mode of goodness. So he went to see his brother, Lord Shiva. Brother, because Shiva also was born from Brahma, from between the eyebrows of Brahma. But he's superior to Brahma, although born from him. So he was playing the part as the brother of Bhrigu Muni. So naturally, when brothers see each other, they hug and, you know, and speak nice words, and isn't? So when Lord Shiva came to hug Lord Bhrigu Muni, Bhrigu Muni stopped him. Don't come nearby me. You are contaminated. You are always associating with ghosts, and always have your body smeared with ashes from the crematorium and skulls around your head. You are inauspicious. Don't come nearby me. Don't touch me. So Shiva became very disturbed by this. He took a strident and was going to attack his brother, you know. He became very angry. But Durga, Parvati, has stopped him. No, this is your brother, you know, don't take it seriously. He's joking with you, don't take it seriously. So she stopped him, you know. But he was ready to pierce his brother, you know. So then he apologized, but then Bhrigu Muni understood, still not, you know, the topmost level of pure goodness. So he went to see Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu was lying down on an antashesh, and Lakshmiji was massaging his lotus feet. And without saying a single word, he just kicked Lord Vishnu's chest with his foot. I mean, there are three levels of offenses, isn't it? One is mental offense, the one he did with Lord Brahma by not offering any word, any respect. The second offense, verbal, when one speaks directly something, offending somebody. And the third offense is physical. So with his foot, he kicked the... Of course, the Lord understood Bhrigu Muni's intention wasn't to offend him or to offend the others, but because he was asked by the sage to test who was, you know, the supreme, so he had to do this. So Lord Vishnu didn't take any offense. His reaction was, oh, my dear Brahman, I hope that my hard chest didn't hurt your foot. Please sit down here. And he started to massage his foot. Bhrigu was completely surprised, you know, at his reaction. Immediately understood, oh, he's in pure goodness. He's not disturbed by anger or by passion. So, of course, Lord Shiva is also not under the modes of nature, although he controls the mode of ignorance, is not under the mode of ignorance himself. But to show that only Vishnu is the supreme, he reacts like that. He also went along with the Leela of the Lord. But then Lakshmiji wasn't happy with that. Although Lord Vishnu, he forgave Bhrigu Muni. He didn't take offense. But after he left, Lakshmiji, even up today, Lord Vishnu has this mark, Bhrigu Pad, in his chest, the symbol of tolerance. The Lord so tolerant. But she, Lakshmiji, wasn't satisfied. She told Vishnu, her husband, "I am very, very disturbed by this, because you should have chastised Bhrigu Muni, corrected him for his offense." She said, "I didn't take any offense." "But I did take offense," she said, "because your chest is also my abode. I rest my head there on your chest, so this is my abode. So you offended my abode. I want you to chastise him, to correct him." And Vishnu said, "Well, I already forgave him. I can't, you know, do anything about it." So she became unsatisfied, and she left Vaikuntha. Lakshmiji left Vaikuntha, came to this earth planet to do tapasya somewhere, you know. But then, after some time, you know, even in Vaikuntha, sometimes there is, you know, family problems also. So don't be surprised that here in the material world sometimes there is difficulty in family life, you know. That's normal. But one should be always Krishna conscious to solve the problems with God's given intelligence. No? Anyway, so after some time, Lord Vishnu, feeling separation from Lakshmiji, he decided to come to earth to search for her. So he came with the name Srinivas. And he came with two-handed form, like human being, not to attract attention, too much attention, while looking for his consort. So he was looking for her everywhere. He couldn't find her. So he went to some mountains in South India, where is the temple, Tirupati temple now. The mountains are called Tirumala. So he went there. That's in the Puranas, that's history. He went there and he found, trying to look for Lakshmiji, he couldn't find her, so he found a big anthill, and beneath it, the anthill, there was a little cave. So he entered that cave and sat down there, and he was meditating on Lakshmiji in separation. But after 3 months, the Lord, in full meditation, he hasn't eaten anything or drunk anything. So Lord Brahma and Shiva, they were worried that their Lord was fasting. So they decided to do something about it. So they approached Lakshmiji and explained to her. So they decided to become a cow and calf, and Lakshmi become a gopi, coward girl. And she went to the king who was ruling that region, and she offered the cow. Brahma was the cow and Shiva was the calf. So they offered this to the king. That the king was very impressed by the beauty of bigness and of the cow, so beautiful, so big, like white snow. And he wanted, the king told his coward man, "You must bring me milk from this cow every day for me and my family." But every time the coward man went to milk the cow, no milk will come, because the cow will escape from the herd, and she will go where Lord Srinivas was meditating, and she will pour her milk through the hall of the ant hill, and Srinivas will be fed with the cow milk like that. So, anyway, one time Srinivas was wandering in the mountain, and there was one princess with her entourage also touring the mountain. And suddenly a wild elephant attacked the princess. She was riding on a palanquin. But then Srinivas came, and he controlled, he fighted with the elephant and subdued him and made him run away. And he saved the princess. The princess' name was Padmavati. So she fell in love with Srinivas immediately. And Srinivas also fell in love with her. And actually he was a little wounded after fighting with the elephant. So one old lady living in the mountain, in the small house, she took care of him and cured him and nursed him. And previously she was Yashoda in Vrindavan. So anyway, the Padmavati, the princess, she fell ill, and no doctor could cure her because she was her sickness was, you know, love sickness. So, and but then the old lady who was taking care of Srinivas, she went to the palace. And she was a fortune teller, so she read the hand of the princess, and she told the king that the only remedy to cure the princess was to marry her with Srinivas. So the arrangement was done, and the invitation letter was given to all the royalty, and the king sent the letter to Srinivas, asking him, please bring all your family members to celebrate the wedding with us. So Srinivas was very happy, but he thought, oh, I came from Vaikuntha alone, I didn't bring any money with me. So he thought, maybe I should invite all the demigods, I like my family too, family members. So he invited all the demigods and sages. Shukadev Goswami came, Vyasadev, all different great sages, all great demigods. So he asked Kuvera to borrow him some money for the expenses of the wedding. And Kuvera agreed, and they have the contract. And he had agreed to pay, you know, what you call the interest. He had to pay interest for borrowing the money. So that was the agreement. But then after they got married, Lakshmiji, Narad Muni immediately went to Lakshmiji where she was doing still tapasya. And he told her, while you're doing here tapasya, your husband got married to somebody else. Better take care of your business, you know. You know how Narad like cunning, you know. Very cunning, Narad Muni. Once Narad Muni went to Vrindavan, and he was glorifying Krishna so beautifully with his Veena, chanting so beautiful songs. And Krishna was very pleased, so he offered a blessing to Narad. Narad, ask me anything you want. And Narad said, my dear Lord, I would like to see you sitting in a julan, in a swing, along with Lalita. That will please me very much. All right, say Krishna, one of those days I will please you, any time in the future. So after some time, Narad Muni came again to Vrindavan, and the gopis and Krishna were waiting for Radharani. They were celebrating the Julan Yatra. So they were waiting all for her to come from Varshana. But then Narad Muni said, my dear Lord, remember your promise to me. Here is Lalita, here is you, here is the swing. when you don't please me. Krishna said, all right, come. So he sat on the swing and asked Lalita to come. Lalita didn't want to come. You know, this is the seat of Radharani, not mine. But all the gopi pushed her, so she sat next to Krishna. And they were swinging them very nicely, you know. And Naradji was singing their glories like that. And he went to Varshana. And he was chanting with his vina, Lalita Krishna, Lalita Krishna. And Radharani heard him singing, so she asked him, Naradji, you always chant Radhika Raman. Why are you chanting today Lalita Krishna? Ah, you're so naive, you don't know what is going on your back. While you're here getting ready to see Krishna, Krishna is doing this, you know. So she, very angry, ran there and start to chastise both Lalita and Krishna. Lalita came to apologize. He would not talk to her, not see her, you know. Krishna either, you know. But then Krishna told her, remember once I told you, my dear Radharani, that be very careful with this Narada. He's very cunning. He may create problem even amongst us. And you told me, no, that is not possible. But see, it's happening now. Okay, I forgive you. So Narad Muni did the same thing with Lakshmiji. And Lakshmiji came running, you know. He started to chastise Padmavati and Srinivas, you know. While I'm doing tapasya, you married some other woman. What is this behavior, you know? She was chastising both. And Padmavati, you know, defended herself, saying that what is this? I mean, this is my wedding day, and you come to my home to rebuke me. What is this behavior, you know? I don't accept this behavior. So they were having argument, you know, some argument, but then Srinivas told Lakshmiji, please remember that when we both were Sita and Ram, and this Padmavati, she played the part of Maya Sita. And when you entered the fire, Agnidev, he presented two Sitas to me as wives. And you asked me to marry her also, to accept her also, because she was doing tapasya to be your wife, as Maya Sita. But I told you, no, I can't, because I did the vow of Ekapatnivrat, only one wife. But I promise you that in the future, I will accept her. So now is the time. Please bless her, don't be angry at her. So see, Lakshmiji said, all right, I remember now everything. Okay, she has my blessing too. So they lived some time in that mountain, but when Kali Yuga, you know, started to become worse, they decided to go back by Kunta, the three of them. So, but he left this deity, you know, Venkateshwar, Balaji. That is the pastime of the appearance of the Lord in that region of the world. So that's why even nowadays the devotees who go to the party, they give so much money to help him to pay the debt with Kuvera. And the Lord blessed them to have more money so they can give to him to help him. This is one of the richest temples in India, actually, isn't it? And very famous deity because fulfill all material desire also. The women who don't have children, they go there and they pray to the Lord and they get children. Whatever they want, they get. Of course, devotee pray to the Lord for fulfilling spiritual desires. They are not so much interested in material desires. There is one interesting story there. One of the pujaris fell in Maya, and he stole a very, very valuable bracelet that belonged to the deity, made of pure gold with very valuable stones on it. And he went to Bombay to sell this bracelet, you know, to get the money, the joy, his senses. So he went to the market with all the jewel shop, one place, you know. So he chose one shop and he went inside. And he said, oh, I'm in financial trouble. This belongs to my wife. I would like to know how much cost this. So the jeweler said, okay, let me see. He analyzed the bracelet and everything. He put how much weight it had and everything. He told him, no, this is very, very valuable bracelet. It is at least 1 lakh, you know. So that's 100,000, isn't it? So, I will say, I have to send somebody to the bank to get the money. Please wait here while I get the money. He said, all right. So he was sitting there, and after like half an hour, the police came and arrested him. The man was shocked. Why are you arresting me? Ah, because this brass that doesn't belong to your wife, this belongs to Balaji, Venkateshwar. How do you know? Because I made this bracelet and I offered it as a present to the Lord. So who better than me can know this? And so hundreds of shops, and he chose this shop to go to sell it. So the Lord corrected his servant, you know. His deviant servant. So that's Baba Graha Janardana. The Lord knows everything. We can never cheat the Lord. So he knows the intention. In the Bengal, they have a saying, too much devotion is a symptom of a thief. You know that? And you know from where that story comes? From that saying, from which story comes? From a pastime of Lord Nityananda. That the thief was approaching Lord Nityananda because he saw that one rich man gave Lord Nityananda a very valuable golden necklace. And sometime in the kirtan, Lord Nityananda, you know, to appreciate this gift done by this devotee, he will put on himself this. So this thief became very greedy to steal this from Lord Nityananda. And he was the head of a gang, you know. He had his many men, you know. He was the chief of all the big bandits, you know. So he made a plan with them to come one night and attack and steal this necklace from Lord Nityananda. So before that, he will go to the assembly of devotees and say, oh, such a nice devotees, how can I do any service for any of you? Please tell me like this, you know. So he was showing up false devotion. But then that's why the saying, too much devotion is a symptom of a thief. The saying came from that pastime. And thank you. So, but the night they came, the kirtan was going on. So they said, oh, up to very late. So they say, let us wait until they go to sleep, then we attack. They came armed, you know, with weapons and different things. But then they while waiting, you know, Mahamaya made them sleep, all of them. They fell asleep at the same time. They could not wake each other because all of them fell asleep at the same time. And when they woke up, it was already morning time. Oh, what happened? Why did you fall asleep? You also fell asleep. No, but you also fell asleep. You didn't wake me up. Oh, I'm like fighting. Oh, the chief said, no. Maybe we didn't worship Durga properly. That's why we fell asleep. Let us do nice puja today and will we achieve our purpose, you know. So they came next night and to their surprise, 4 big bodyguards were, you know, guarding the house where Nityananda was having the kirtan. Very tall, very big, with big swords in their hands. So they were frightened. Well, one of these men can defeat 20 of us, you know. Maybe Nityananda Prabhu suspects something and he had some, you know, some governor friend who he lent him his bodyguards or something. Now, let me find out tomorrow and I will let you know. So he came next day, you know, disguised himself as a devotee, you know, put tilak, everything, you know, chanting, Haribol, Haribol. He wasn't real devotee, you know, he was pretending, you know. Bhaktivinoda Thakur called this kind of people Kali Chela. They pretend to be devotee, but at heart they are materialistic. So anyway, he didn't hear any suspicion or anything. So he told his friend, anyway, we should wait. In 10 days will be a new moon night, no moon, so that will be a good time to do it. So they came that night, very late, and everything was dark. Everybody was sleeping. So, that's the right time now. So they were going to attack, enter the house by force and steal this necklace. And suddenly, they lost their eyesight. And hailstorm started to fall, a very big hailstorm, you know, hurting them so badly. They were, you know, shouting in pain. And the big mosquitoes came, start to bite them very badly, you know. So they were blind, they were being hurt by this hailstorm. So some of them fell and broke their legs, you know, and they broke their arms, you know. They were in pain, crying, you know. And then the main thief, he realized all this is happening because of the offense of trying to steal from Lord Nityananda. He's the Supreme Lord, and I made a big mistake by trying to do this. So please, Lord, please forgive us for our offenses. Be merciful. We are fallen souls, you know. So he changed his heart like that. So the hailstorm stopped. They recovered their eyesight. The mosquito flew away. So they helped each other to go back to their homes, all hurt badly and everything. So the next day, this thief came in front of Nityananda. He confessed everything. And he said, the only expiation I see for my offense is that I draw myself in the Ganga. So please, forgive me and give me your blessing. And he was leaving to draw himself in the Ganga. Lord Nityananda said, bring him here immediately. He can't go. So devotees forcibly brought him before him. And he was trembling in fear, you know. And he fell at Nityananda's feet crying. And Lord Nityananda put his foot on his head, you know. And all the sinful reaction washed away immediately. He started to dance and chant, you know, Jai Nityananda, the merciful Nityananda. All devotees were asked, you are so fortunate, you got the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So Nityananda Prabhu told him, instructed him, stop this stealing business from now on, completely, lead an honest life, and chant the holy name of the Lord. If any thief come to your home to propose any, you know, thing, you preach to them, make them devotees. So every thief will come to his home, you know, will come out with tilak and japa mala, you know. Very good bhakta program. Hare Krishna. Any comments, questions? All right. So externally we can know who's a real devotee or not, you know. Somebody may show up, something he's not. And somebody like Lord Shiva, I mean, externally doesn't look like a devotee, he's the greatest devotee. So we should be careful not to judge people just by the external. Of course, the devotee must behave, not only, he also must behave properly. We can't imitate Lord Shiva. Sometimes pseudo-devotees of Lord Shiva want to imitate him, by, you know, smoking ganja. They say, Lord Shiva also do this, I can also do it. They should first swallow the poison without dying. Then they can also smoke the ganja. Or pseudo devotees of Krishna, they want to imitate the Ras Lila. But first they should lift the Govardhan hill before trying to imitate the Supreme Lord. And anyway, Lord Shiva, he smoked ganja only once in all creation. The day of the annihilation, he smoked the ganja to enter this angry mood to destroy everything, you know. Only that day he do it. Not on the other day. And he has the power to destroy all the universe. But people who smoke ganja, they destroy their own brains, you know, their own body. Prabhupada said they call their death nearer, faster. Yes.
You're bringing up different examples. You're saying that you can't judge somebody externally, and there's so many examples like Kundaribhidini,
yes,
enjoyer, and then there's somebody else like Supracharya, who's a Brahmin with all kinds of austerities, but then he's not a devotee.
Yes, right.
So, should we just not try to judge, or can we judge?
No, we should not. Krishna will judge. We should not judge anyone. I mean, Krishna's on the heart. He knows better than any of us if the person is sincere or not. Even if we see somebody, you know, not behaving properly, we should pray to Krishna, please help him to become a better person, a better devotee. Krishna's teaching us through this example what we should avoid ourselves. So in that way we can avoid this judgmental attitude of, yeah, because who is free from fault? Who is free from to be victimized by Maya? So if we take the humble attitude and pray to the Lord, please, my Lord, protect me that such thing may happen to me also. I'm not free from those things. Then we are in a safer position, ourselves. I've seen sometimes one devotee is too heavy on some other devotee having difficulties. And after some time, the devotee was having difficulty, he surpassed them and becomes very well situated. And the person who was very heavy on him, he falls down and have difficulties. You know? You know, we don't know what things may happen in the future. Anybody can have problems. So with that understanding in mind, attitude should be, you know, tolerance and merciful, you know. It's the best thing. There is one example about that. That, what do you call that? The thief? The thief told the needle, ha ha ha, you have a hole in you. Huh? As if I have so many holes in it, you know. So, oh no, you have a hole in you. Yes, you like that, you know. So we have to be careful, you know, about judging others, you know. Let Krishna do that. It's not our job. I mean, if it's our responsibility to correct somebody for his own good, then we try to do it, you know, in an affectionate way, you know. In a kind and merciful way, but if we can do that, otherwise we can pray for the well-being of others too. That's the Vaishnava attitude should be, you know. Any other? Yes. What is the question again? No, she jiva tattva. Yeah. But she is one of the energies of the Lord. I mean, particular energy. I can't remember the name now. But she's a particular energy of the Lord. And she was doing austerity to have the Lord as husband. And she was given the opportunity to be Maya Sita, to feel the separation from the Lord while she was at Ravana's palace, you know, garden. So she was given opportunity to meditate more on the Lord, like that. Yes, of course. I mean, she was pure devotee already, liberated soul. So the Lord accepted her as wife. Naturally, she's very elevated soul. Yes?
The entire
Yes, correct. I haven't seen the movie, but that's okay. I heard the story from the pujaris there in that temple. They have even written the pastime on the walls of the temple. Yes, so is it accurate or? Okay. I mean, they try to do it sometime according to the Shastra, but most of the time they make some different, you know, some dramatic changes or something. But generally, at least all movies are better. They follow more strictly. You know, this. Hare Krishna. All right, so no more questions. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Premanandi.